Blog Talk Radio.
Y'all very much for listening to us. It's been a pleasure to play for you. Thank you so much. On the guitar and some of the vocals, Mr. Gintrow on the guitar and the vocals. On the bass and some of the vocals, Mr. Keith Mosley. On the drums, the apartment QC58, Mr. Jeff Sykes.
Broadcasting to you live from the United States of America, reaching out tonight especially to Africa and the Mideast, Europe, and the Eastern Hemisphere. We are so glad you're with us, and let's just bow our heads together and fold our hands and let's pray to open up tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to share the good news around the world and to help people as well to learn English and for us to come together as friends and family members of God's family. We're so glad we're all a part of God's family, and we thank you for each one. And we feel and give the love of God that you have for us, for one another. We praise you, Lord. Praise your name. Thank you for your almighty greatness, goodness, kindness, and love. And we do love you. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with each one who hears this tonight, that you would meet their special need. I pray for little Isabella, my friend's granddaughter, who's in the hospital tonight, very sick with bronchitis. And I pray for all the little babies, all the little infants around the world, Lord, that you would provide them enough food and good parents who know how to nourish and take care of them and help their children to grow into the stature of the Lord Jesus Christ as strong Christians and strong people who stand together. We just pray blessings upon our children around the world, children of every country. Lord, we pray for all our Christians and pray that you protect them, anoint them, and bless them in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight we will be continuing in Revelation, but before we do, I'd just like to refresh a little bit about what we've already read before we read what we're going to read tonight. I know many of you may or may not have heard the news in Russia this week. There was a huge meteorite, whatever size it was, that fell from the heaven and landed into a part of Russia in a blaze of fire. And I hope that we get to that chapter 9, I believe it is, that talks about that. Yes, chapter 9. We read in chapter 6 in a prior radio show at verse 8 about how the 4th, 7 and 8, how the fourth seal was opened and John the Divine heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And looked and behold a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him. And this was the part I want you to remember. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword and with hunger and with death and with the beast of the earth. That, I believe, is what has occurred last year when Obama, basically, and his cohorts, probably the UN and whoever else they are around the world, basically gave over a fourth of the world and helped the Ottoman Empire, the old Ottoman Empire, to rise again. They used to be an empire, as it is now configured, in which just about every country in northern Africa through Saudi Arabia and the Middle East is now under the power of Islam. Except for one tiny little country that God has blessed, and that is Israel. And it's amazing that we're hearing out of that part of the world that they think Islam thinks that Israel doesn't have a right to exist. Well, that's just amazing that anybody would think any other human being on the world didn't have a right to exist. When God says we're all of his creation, and that is just not right. It's not biblical. And so we pray, we're going to pray especially tonight for those who are under the dominion of this fourth part of the world, where the Revelation has said they're going to kill with swords. We've seen that happening already, and with hunger by depriving them of food and causing them to die. Now, that could only be evil. that wants to bring that forth on other people. No God-loving, God-fearing Christian would want to kill other people or deprive them of food because they're a different religion. Let's just pray right now for the people in this area and those who are Muslim, that their hearts would be softened and that they would see the reality of God, Lord. We just believe in the name of Jesus that you love and want all of humankind to come to know you, Lord God, and to be a part of the family of God. Help them to hear this good news and to ask, Lord, for forgiveness and to accept you into their hearts as your Lord and Savior, and see the error of their ways, that they are wrong and blinded, that they are following a false God, that they indeed are following the evil one of whom we have prayed so much about the last few months in teaching the Lord's Prayer. They are following the evil one, and they may or they may not even know that. Lord, help them to ask for a revelation from the true God and reveal yourself to them, Lord, we pray, in the precious name of Jesus. In the precious name of Jesus. Jesus. Amen. I say that over and over because numerous times when I've listened to my radio shows, Jesus' name has been half blotted out. So I don't know whoever is doing that, is causing that to happen. We want the name of Jesus to be heard. For Jesus is the entrance into heaven through salvation and accepting Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Lord, we do lift your name on high. Let's just take a couple of moments and listen to Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. You can get any of these songs for your own use by Googling the name of the song on the internet, and you can purchase these songs to download for yourself. This one, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, is sung by Stuart Townsend. Lord, we do worship you, and we lift your name on high. Praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to sing for you Amazing Grace. I don't know if I've sung it yet for you. I've been singing it this month. It's an old song written by John Newton, who lived from 1725 to 1807. So people have been singing this song for over 200 years. It's like a staple song, meaning a good solid song that all Christians love around the world and have sung everywhere. So it's good to know this song. Wherever you go to church around the world, most people will know this song. And it is in the public domain now, so you can print it and share it and write music to go with it like you like. There are a lot of accompaniments with it that make it a little different. I haven't been able to get my organ hooked up yet, but eventually I will. I've got it out. So eventually I'll play my organ with this. And I have a little reaction to allergies tonight. I took a pill, but it's still not my full voice, but I think it's enough where you will be able to hear the beautiful words and melody to this old song. And it's really probably best to sing it without some accompaniment at first so you can hear the words and the melody real well. There are 6 verses. I'll probably just sing 1 or 2 now and then finish the rest after I read in a little bit. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that brought me safe thus far, and grace that leads me home. Praise the name of the Lord. I'll finish the rest of those verses after we read a little bit, but that's a wonderful song to just sing over and over because it has 6 verses to the same melody. So once you know the melody, you have different words each time. And then we usually finish off again with the first verse. And I'm looking forward to when I finally do get that recorded with my keyboard player. And I know that all of you can make music. You have your drums and your flutes and instruments that you play. So learn that song and play your music with it. I know you will just love worshiping the Lord, singing that song. Now, I just feel led to play You're Worthy of My Praise. It's a little bit of a far-out song. It's got some wild drums and things. But I know some of you young kids like that. And sometimes you'll you'll listen to the music when it's catchy and kind of far out. Now, I'm warning you ahead of time, this is like hard rock, but it still has the message of, you're worthy of my praise, Lord. You're worthy of my praise.
I'll give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. You alone.
By Jeremy Camp. You are worthy of our praise. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I believe we finished off reading chapter 7 last time, but nevertheless, wherever we were, I want to start in chapter 8 tonight so we can get to chapter 9, because I think 9 is relevant to what was happening in Russia this week. And we are seeing one sign after another come to pass, as we are told ahead of time in Revelation. You know, I've been reading Revelation for 60 years and hearing all my family members teach and preach it, as my parents on grandparents on both sides were pastors, and my parents were Bible teachers, and I've been a Bible teacher, and yet every time I read it, something else is brought to the forefront with a more crystal clear meaning. There's that scripture that says that as we come to the time, appointed time of God, that we will see through that clouded glass more better. We will see more clearly the reality of God, of what he's bringing forth in the end time. And just finishing up that seventh chapter, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them as their shepherd, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water of life. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. I say that because that verse gives us hope for a culmination in our time in which all pain and suffering will be over, and we will be with the Lord God. Chapter 8 says, the opening of the seventh seal, here's what we're talking about, and the seven angels, the four trumpets sound, and great plagues follow. Verse 1, chapter 8, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, whenever time is spoken of in the Bible, it may not be our half an hour in our time. We don't really know. It may be symbolic speaking, just as in the first of Genesis, it talks about how God created the earth in 7 days. Well, biblical scholars say that a day may have been a different length of time than our length of a day. But I think what it means is there's going to be a noticeable length of time of silence. And verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that's a good smelling aroma that burns, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, God is almighty. Gold is a sign of authority and of royalty, of wealth and leadership, and God is indeed the God of all riches, both spiritual and naturally. And the symbols throughout the scripture support that theme. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. I think we have started to see some of that, but I think there's much more yet to come that may be of even greater magnitude. Verse 6, and the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And a third part of the earth was burnt up, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. We have been hearing of many of these happenings around the world, and you notice that none of it encompasses the whole world, because God has said he would never destroy the whole world again with a flood. And I kind of have gotten from that, I don't know what other scholars might think, that God perhaps doesn't intend to destroy the whole world again at any one time. So that's why many scholars think he talks about parts of it. And a third part of the sea became blood. Now, I don't know if that's because the great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea and it burned and killed and destroyed that amount of sea life. It seems to be in the same verse, so that's what it sounds like. Verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. Yes, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because the waters were made bitter. That means harmful or not good. Verse 12, and the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as a third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. Verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel. And my Bible here has eagle, in parentheses, flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And that, you know, that could be America. We've always thought the eagle to represent America. And we as Christians are telling the rest of the world. We're flying through the midst of the heaven, telling with a loud voice through the internet, through our radio, on TV, through our broadcasting. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. And I'm saying, prepare your hearts, come to know the Lord, for many people will die in this third part of the earth that will be destroyed, and many of them will be the evil ones. But we know the scripture says, the rain falleth on the just and the unjust. That means there may be some just people that go with them. So we pray for your safety, and we pray that you would tell everyone about coming to know the Lord so that we could be together with you eternally in heaven, for your souls will go to heaven and be with God, and we will see you again together in heaven. Now, chapter 9 is especially interesting. Now here we're going to find that the fifth angel soundeth, and a star falleth from heaven, and the first woe passed, the sixth trumpet soundeth. Now many of you have already suffered great atrocities in your part of the world, and I hopefully understand that many of us in America are not familiar with much of what has gone on. But many of the Christians are, because we have kept in contact with missionaries who have been over there who have told us about the many atrocities that have gone on. But it is rarely, if ever, played in our news. So our people generally do not know of the horrors that many of you have suffered and are suffering and are yet going to suffer. But we pray for you that your souls will be blessed and that you will reach to the high calling that God has called you to. Many of you will be martyrs, but you will reap special rewards in ruling and reigning with Christ when we all come together again. So let's read chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit of the abyss. Now, I don't know, it just seemed like we were looking in the news, like a huge star just fell from heaven. If you haven't seen the news that they've been showing on the videos from Russia, that's just what it looked like. It was huge. And then they showed this big, massive hole with this meteorite burning up. Well, a star does have a certain amount of mass. We don't know if it was a star, but I'm just saying it could be symbolic that it looks like a star, and it could be the sign to the earth to know that perhaps this is the fifth angel that has sounded, and he's given to him the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, if you've never been out of the Eastern Hemisphere, you might not be aware that the Western Hemisphere is totally different. When we went to the Eastern Hemisphere 10, 12, 15 years ago, I was taken aback at how the region, the whole area, the air seemed to be darkened. It was dim, like there was no light over there. And it was a feeling of oppression. Everywhere we went, all around to Southern Europe and into Bosphorus Strait, into all of Turkey, Israel, Jordan, Cyprus, Crete, on the Mediterranean, Italy, all Greece, all in that region. I had a real feeling of oppression. And everywhere I went, I just prayed and that the Lord would lift that oppression and reveal himself to you. I even left a prayer in the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem that the Holy Spirit would fall upon the Eastern Hemisphere and this part of the world and reveal himself to the people so that they may know him and the reality of God. You might not have noticed that if you've grown up with it, but it felt to me like that part of the world was living in darkness, except, of course, for the few places of light where Christians such as you live. Verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. Locusts are some kind of a bug, and they eat just about anything they can get their jaws on. So they also destroy plants, food, etc., which can cause shortage of food. So if I were you, I would be prepared for locusts, just in case. You can get those little smudge pots. Maybe it looks like a little barbecue where you can burn little pots of things at the ends, edges of where you plant your crops, and maybe that will keep some of the locusts away. But they tend to come in hordes, huge numbers of them, and just land all over your crop. So you might want the ability to have torches that you can go walk out among your crops with lots of people so that maybe the locusts will go away. I don't know if that will work, but I know when we grew orange groves in Orange County, they had smudge pots when the temperature got too cold, so that it would warm the air around the orange trees so they wouldn't freeze and destroy the crops. So you might as well try it It may be all you have, that and the prayers to God to send the locusts away. Verse 4, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Amazing. Isn't that wonderful? So God has a way to protect us if we're Christians and we have the seal of God in our foreheads. He will protect us. Now, the Catholics actually do put an ash cross in their forehead. And we as Christians don't do that, but Catholics are Christians too. They just are so big we call them that they're separate group Catholics. But who knows, maybe that's what God is going to want you to do, is to put an ash cross. You just put it on your fingers and make a cross on your forehead when those locusts come, so that the locusts will pass over you, like the death angel passed over the Israelites' firstborn in Egypt. These things work. God's given these words for a purpose, to protect you. Verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. So there's probably going to be like infestations and pests bothering men for about, it says, 5 months. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That tells me it will be so miserable they wish they could die. 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battles. I think that means really big. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. 8. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sounds of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. This is what makes it difficult to understand what God means, because locusts are a small little bug, but yet if they are like the shape of horses prepared into battle with heads and crowns and faces of men, and breastplates like men wear of iron in battle, and wings that sound like chariots, and horses running into battle, that almost makes you wonder as if it is some kind of evil perpetrated through men who have these special abilities, perhaps given them to them by spirits. I don't know. It's difficult to interpret unless God reveals to you what that is. And oh, we pray that God will, to those of you who are exposed to this, that God will help you to know it is time to get the seal of the Lord in your forehead and become a Christian. We believe we have a symbolic seal in our forehead when we are one of God's children and we've given our heart to the Lord and we're part of God's family, that the Holy Spirit will recognize us. But in the Bible, he actually had the Israelites paint the blood of a lamb on their doorpost. So he may actually want you to put an ashen cross on your forehead. I mean, it's certainly something, if God impressed me, I would do. And there's more. They have tails like unto scorpions, and they were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. But remember, if you have the seal of the Lord, they will pass you over. And they will only harm those men and people who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. So tell all your family and loved ones about coming to know the Lord so that they won't suffer this end time plague. plague that is going to be dispensed upon the earth. Verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. So that tells me they are followers of Satan with special satanic powers given them by the spirits. So they will have superhuman strength, probably, with ability to torture and kill and harm people. But remember, when we're Christians, he said, we will be protected. Only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads will be harmed by these from the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. On the one hand, on one, the first woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. So that's just one woe or plague. Now there's going to be two more. And verse 13, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in at the great river Euphrates. Now there is an actual river Euphrates in Iraq. And I think there are going to be a lot of biblical happenings in and around that area. Let's find out what happens there. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now, see, I don't know if that has already occurred, because Saddam Hussein slayed a great, huge number of his population, of his country. So we maybe have seen some parts of this, and yet maybe some of it is still yet to come. 16, and the number of the army of horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them, 200,000. Verse 17, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on the horses, having breastplates of fire and of hyacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Well, brimstone usually represents fire from hell. So this sounds like Satan's army. Verse 18, by these three plagues was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. 19, for their power, or the power of their horses, is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. Verse 20, and the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. So there were still those who refused to repent of their sins. Even after those horrible plagues, they didn't recognize or want to receive or believe in the power of God. Verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. And this could also mean those who perpetrated all this death upon others, that they were calloused, hardened souls, led and directed by Satan and his army and the evil spirits that came out of the pit. It said in the scripture Now that's a pretty amazing couple of chapters there. And I think we are in and have been in the midst of this in the last few years and in the years ahead. The thing about time in the Bible is we're not exactly sure if a month is a month or that kind of thing. So that's why everything doesn't just happen all at once. It more or less unfolds. And as we figure out what is happening in comparing to the scripture, then we can somewhat see where we are and what is yet to come. Now, next week in chapter 10, we're going to hear about the angel with the book. And he sweareth by him that liveth forever that time shall be no more. In the end time, when we're all with the Lord, time will be no more. It'll just be endless joy and worship and being with the Lord in something wonderful, probably, that most of us have never experienced. And I don't know why, but it makes me think of those stories I've heard people tell who've had afterlife experiences and then come back from death and have told how wonderful it was when they're Christians, and how that there were these white angelic beings that led them through the tunnel to heaven. And it will be a wonderful time of endless time. Time will be no more, because it will all be with the Lord and wonderful. Let's listen to a song, and let's listen to We Will Glorify the Lord.
Glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify.
play that one more time, but before we do, I'm going to be looking in Daniel chapter 7, verse 8. It has a reference to this one scripture about the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. So they might not be the actual bug, but they may be men who have powers of all these scorpion tails and the ability to devour and destroy like locusts do. So here we see a personification of scorpions and locusts. They're not people, but yet personification is a literary technique used to make things look like persons or people. And you might do that with just about anything. And they do that often in cartoons. With fruits and vegetables, you can make them talk like people. That's called personification. So this is a high-level literary technique that God has used in the Bible through John the Divine in explaining what's going to happen without literally explaining what they're going to look like. So it's giving you an idea in what we know on earth, what locusts do and what scorpions do. Their sting is going to be horrific and painful and really evil. And we find that they are loosed from the pit. So let's listen to this one more time. We will glorify, and then I'll read a couple of other verses. Old Testament, Daniel 7:7, it's also discussing similar subject material like Revelation. And we see again here that symbolism and personification is used. Chapter 7, verse 7 of Daniel. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Now, the 10 horns are often referred to regarding Europe and kingdoms and reigns in Europe down through history. But let's see here what it says. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were 3 of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. 9. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the one that was Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. So Daniel is dovetailing with Revelation, and here you get the word judgment was set. Verse 11, I beheld then because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed, and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. And you maybe have heard people talk about the mark of the beast, and the beast always being a biblical term. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and language should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that shall not be destroyed. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are 4 kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceeding dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, and his nails of brass, which devoured, brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with his feet. And of the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake very great things, whose look was more stout than his fellows, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. There will be a time of pain, struggling, but there will be the end time when all the saints of God will possess and control the kingdom. Verse 23, thus he saith, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down, and break it in pieces. It appears to be that it just may be this kingdom that is coming together now. Verse 24, and the ten horns out of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. So in other words, this power is going to be given to him to change laws for a time, but the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him, the Lord God. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenances changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. So you can see that Daniel kind of expound upon and explain more about what we're reading in Revelation. And it says here that in the end, the kingdom shall be given to the saints of God. So if we will prevail and stay with God according to his purposes, we will come to the great time of which we rule and reign with Christ. Well, now is the time for us to offer prayer for those who would like to be a part of that great kingdom, to rule and reign with Christ, and to be able to have the seal upon your forehead for protection against the locust. Remember what the locusts represent? That man-like, demonic being that comes out of the pit of hell that's going to cause devastation over the earth, evilness and devastation and death and destruction. And we've seen the beginning of that this last year or two. God has a plan. If you'd like to be a part of God's family, you can. The scripture says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's important that we receive God's best gift for our eternal salvation. John 1:2, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. John 3:3, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Please pray with me now and accept the Lord Jesus into your heart. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Dear Heavenly Father, say this prayer with me. I know that I have been separated from you, walking in darkness. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for my sins, and I receive your forgiveness. I step out today, walking in the light, willing to turn from my way and go your way, Lord Jesus. I now invite you into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior. I will follow you and obey you as the Lord of my life, all the days of my life. And I receive your gift of the Holy Spirit to guide and comfort me and give me understanding of the Scripture. And we thank you and praise you for the gift of salvation. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We glorify you, Lord. The angels in heaven sing when each one comes to know the Lord and joins the family of God. Let's praise the Lord together. Hallelujah. Praise.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty. We will bow.
Enjoyed greatly this time together with you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and God has given me a love for you, and probably you a love for me, even though we've never met. Just think how much God loves each one of us, because he sees and knows each one of us. He even knows the number of hairs on our head. He knows our deepest thoughts and hopes and dreams. He cares about you. He cares about each one of us. It's time for us to say goodbye. Until next time, I'm so happy you were with me tonight and joined us. And we hope that you will share this radio show with your friends and listen each time as you grow in the Lord into the stature of Jesus Christ. It is a walk, a daily walk. A lifelong walk as you face each new trial, God will give you wisdom through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we may not do as well as other times, but we continue to step forward, walking in the light, asking and trusting God to help us, give us understanding through Scripture as we study the Word and as we listen broadcast. You know, God wants you to know all about how to be a Christian and the future, what's going to happen, because He gave us the Word many years ago for our knowledge and our information to give us hope that in the end we will come through all the evilness one way or another, whether it be through death or through still being alive. We will rule and reign together in the end with Jesus Christ, worship our God. Believe it will happen. Step out in faith. Lord, be with my brother and sister Christ. Bless them from all harm and danger. Keep them safe. Help them to put on that symbolic seal of God on their forehead, and to learn to trust in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it, and we thank you. Thank you for it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, God loves you, and I love you. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.